Goal today is to try to figure out what's the connection between Parshas Maasai and the 3 weeks. And especially in this case, we're going to read Parshas Maasai right after Rosh Chodesh Av. So we're already, you know, intensifying our Avelus. And we're going to focus our attention on the following Psukim. Ela Masai Masai Bnei Yisrael Asher Yotzu Me Eretz Mitzrayim L'Tzivosom V'Yad Moshe V'Aaron. The Torah now enumerates the 42 Masos and the different places where Bnei Yisrael encamped in the Midbar, in the wilderness, during the 40 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim until they finally reached the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. In most cases of these 42, the Torah says absolutely nothing about what happened in that place. It just says, Vayisu, Vayachnu. They encamped and they left the next day, or whenever they left. There's one exception, and that's going to be Har HaHar. That's where Moshe tells Aaron to go up to the Har HaHar, and Aaron dies. Take, for example, when they get to Midbar Sinai, and immediately after Yitzias Mitzrayim, what does the Torah tell us here in Parshas Maasai? Nothing. Vayisu mirfidim vayachnu b'midbar Sinai. We know what happened in Midbar Sinai, the greatest event in Jewish history. The Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael in Midbar Sinai. And yet, in our Parsha, there's no need to mention that, because we already have an entire Parsha in Yisro that delineates and records Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalas HaTorah. So there's no need to discuss the Matan Torah that took place in our Sinai. But when we get to Pasuk Lamed Zayin in Parshas Maasai, in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel, Vayis'u Mikadesh, Vayachanu Bahor Ahor, B'Ktzei Eretz Adom, Vayal Aaron HaKohen El Har HaHor Al Pi Hashem Vayoma Shom Bishnas HaRboim L'Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'Chodesh HaKhamishi B'Echod L'Chodesh V'Aaron Ben Sholosh V'Esrim U'Ma'as Shona B'Moso B'Har HaHor Ahar. Now, the truth is that we already have been taught about the death of Aaron. If we turn back about 13 chapters here in Bamidbar, back to Chukas, the Torah says in Bamidbar Chof, Vayomas Aaron Shom, Barosh Ahor, Vayered Moshe Velazar Min Ahor, Vayiru Kol Ha'edo Ki Gova Aaron, Vayivku Es Aaron Shloshim Yom, Kol Beis Yisrael. Why then does the Torah feel compelled, and this is the exception to the rule rather than the rule, to describe to us an entire section here about what would happen when the Bnei Yisrael left Kadesh and they got to Har HaHor, and Aaron goes up to the Har HaHor and he dies there? It seems like the Torah is just repeating itself, which it did not do in the case of Har Sinai or Midbar Sinai, and it does here in the case of Har HaHor. Isn't that very strange? If the Torah feels compelled to reiterate the events that took place in each one of the Masos, and that's why the Torah did that in the case of Har HaHor, why did the Torah do that, for example, in the case of Har Sinai, which was such a momentous event in Jewish history? Now, in order to answer this question, we're going to have to ask another question. In truth, it's not really a repetition. The Torah here in Parshas Maasai is not exactly repeating word for word what the Torah had revealed to us back in Parshas Chukas about the death of Aaron. Here in Parshas Maasai, the Torah adds two details about the death and the burial of Aaron that were not presented in Parshas Chukas. Again, that itself is going to be a problem. Why is it that these details are revealed here in Maasai and not back in Chukas, where the Torah describes them? But on the other hand, if we give an answer to that question, then we might understand why here in Parshas Maasai the Torah wanted to add these points about the death of Aaron. What are the two points that are added here that are not mentioned in Parshas Chukas? The Torah says, "Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Har Ahar al Pi Hashem." Those words, al Pi Hashem, do not appear in the description of Aaron's death back in Parshas Chukas. They only appear here in Parshas Masai, which would seem to be out of place. I mean, here the Torah is enumerating the various machdos and chanoyos of Bnei Yisrael, but here the Torah adds al Pi Hashem, that Aaron died al Pi Hashem. Rashi says, what is the significance of al Pi Hashem? Shem meis b'misas neshika. Why is it that back in Chukas the Torah doesn't mention anything about Misas Neshik al Pi Hashem, and Dafke here in Parshas Masai the Torah reveals that Aaron died Misas Neshika? And he tells you, if you want to study this, you'll see Rabbeinu Bachai back in Chukas mentioned something about this. The Shalah in his commentary on Masechta Tainis has something to say about this, but we want to approach it from a different angle. But let's focus on another detail that's revealed about the Misa of Aaron here in Parshas Masai and is not revealed back in Parshas Chukas, namely the date of Aaron's death. Here in Parshas Masai, the Torah tells us, "Bachodesh haChamishi beEchad laChodesh." Now, if you count the months from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the fifth month of the year is Av, and you'll see that throughout Tanakh, like in Sefer Zechariah, Av is called the fifth month. Not only that, Aaron died not just during Av, but be'achod l'chodesh, meaning he died in Rosh Chodesh Av. Now that's interesting. Number one, why is the Torah feel compelled to reveal this detail about the death, the anniversary, the yahrzeit, so to speak, of Aaron here in Parshas Masai, omitting it in Parshas Chukas, which is the original recording or presentation of the death of Aaron? But secondly, we find something very strange. The Torah does not reveal to us, with regard to other gedolim, other greats, when they die, and certainly not the exact date on which they died. And not only that, the Shulchan Aruch codifies this in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Tav Kuf Pei, and it says that there's an entire seder of days in which we had our forefathers suffered various sorrows, and amongst that list of calendar dates, it says Be'achad Be'av, on the first day of Av Meis Aaron. Why is it that it appears here, and why does the Torah feel compelled to reveal to us exactly what the calendar date of the death of Aaron is? We don't find it in any other cases. We don't know the exact calendar date of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. Here, with regard to Aaron, we must know that he died on Rosh Chodesh Av. So I'm wondering if we would walk out of this door and test people here in the Beis Medrash and ask them, what is the anniversary date of Aaron's Ptira? How many people would know that it's on Rosh Chodesh Av? And yet the Torah tells us this in Parashas Masai, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies it amongst those days that are bad days in Jewish history. And at this point, we're going to study the Sfas Emes, the great Gera Rebbe. He was one of the shining lights of Hasidus, especially on the intellectual level, because he left a tremendous amount of insights in his writings into Chumash and into Gemara. I mean, his commentary on Shas is absolutely brilliant. And here he presents a whole new thesis about the significance of the fact that Aaron would die on Rosh Chodesh Av. This was all part of a divine plan, that's obvious. But he, the Sfas Emes, connects this to the destruction of the second bais. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that although the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the violation of the three cardinal sins, in the case of the second Mikdash, when they were very observant of the mitzvos and they studied the Torah, why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And the famous answer, Bishum Sinas Chinam, base or futile hatred. And this teaches us, says the Gemara in Yuma, that Sinas Chinam is Shkula Keneged Shalosh Averis. It has the same severity as the three cardinal sins. Now let's take a look back in Parshas Chukas when the Torah describes the death of Aaron in the aftermath of his death. It says, "Vayiru kol ha'eda." The entire assembly realized. They became aware of the fact that Aaron had died. Ki gava Aaron. Vayivku es Aaron shloshim yom kodim kol beis Yisrael. So we find an amazing phenomenon. The entire community of Israel cries and mourns over the death of Aaron for a full 30-day period. What's the emphasis here of kol beis Yisrael? Says Rashi, ha-noshim ve-ha-noshim. You and I might think, well, Aaron was the great Kohen Gadol, he served the Avodah, he was a teacher of Torah, he was part of the transmission of Torah, he was a great prophet. All this might be relevant to the men folk. But here we're talking about couples. We're talking about anoshim v'noshim. And why are they so upset? Lefisha Aaron hayorodef shalom. Aaron was the person who brought peace and harmony. Matel ava bein bale mariva. He brought love between two individuals who are in a controversy, had an altercation, and there was a friction between them. Ubein ish le'ishto. So that if you talk about marriage therapy, the greatest marriage therapist of all time would be Aaron HaKohen. That's what it says. But Aaron represents Avas Sholom, Rodev Sholom. And the Gemara tells us that Hillel was a student of Aaron. Now it doesn't mean that Hillel, this is the first Hillel HaZaken, actually studied under the tutelage of Aaron. He was many, many centuries after Aaron's death. But he tried to imitate that midah which Aaron personified, and that's the midah of Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. And that was Hillel. Hillel was the Oev Sabrios Umakaravan Latorah. And it's interesting that Hillel is Oev es habrios. You know, it uses the word brios. You know that in the Balatanya is very famous, right, for being medayik, but the word brios. You know, we're not talking about the Beinoni. We're talking about brios. But Ava and Shalom, that's Hillel, and that is because Hillel is a sort of a zer anpin. You know, he's a microcosm. He's a duplicate, so to speak, of Aaron. Aaron is the original personification of Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. And we're going to begin to appreciate, says the Sfas Emes, what is it about the month of Av that needs tikkun, especially in the light of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash for Sinas Chinam, and how is it that Aaron is connected to this month Av, but not in his lifetime, but in his death. He dies in the initial day, you know, the kickoff of the month of Av. Because Aaron is the Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, the exact antithesis of Sinas Chinam.
Right.
And we have a principle, the Gemara formulates it in Masechta Brachos, G'dolim Tzadikim V'Misasim Yosem V'Chayehem. What it means is that sometimes the legacy of a Tzadik becomes even more profound and it has more of an impact even after his death. The posthumous influence of G'dolim and Tzadikim. In the case of Aaron, we see to what extent he had an impact on the Jewish people who would try to imitate his midah, the midah that he personified, even after his death. Like we saw about Shmuel, about Hillel, and we saw it in the case of Vayivku, Kol Beis Yisrael. They were trying to learn how they could fill in this missing gap of Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom in the aftermath of Aaron's death. For example, you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, and his influence, his impact after his death. Of course, we don't have to talk about the influence of his Torah, which continues, you know, the transmission of his Torah, which continues endlessly. But let's talk about the protection that Moshe gave the people of Israel posthumously. Chazal say, it's a Gemara in Sota, that Moshe was buried right near Baal Peor. Baal Peor, as you know, was the location in which Klal Yisrael sinned with the Bnos Moav, and there was a certain worship of Pa'or, of the idolatry of Pa'or. And the Medrash tells us that on an annual basis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds himself of the sin of Baal Pa'or, the sin of Klal Yisrael having these relationships with the Bnos Moav. And the angel, so to speak, the representative in Shemayim of Pa'or comes up to Shemayim and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, your people, your children worship me. They worship Pa'or. And that's a kitruk. That is a prosecution against Klal Yisrael, because whenever you mention the sins of Klal Yisrael in front of the Ribono Shalom in the Bezin Shalmal, that's called a kitru. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point sees the burial place of Moshe, because the Torah says that Moshe was buried somewhere near Baal Pa'or. We don't know exactly where he's buried. There are people today who want to excavate his kever, but we don't know where he's buried. But he's buried somewhere near Baal Pa'or. And the burial of Moshe is a symbol of the posthumous influence or impact of a tzaddik. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks the other way, and instead of meeting out anger and wrath against the Jewish people because of the sin of Baal Pa'or, instead he views, so to speak, the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. He remembers the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he passes on, meaning instead of getting, you know, meeting out his anger against the Jewish people. What about the influence of Aaron posthumously? Well, Aaron dies on what calendar date? Rosh Chodesh. Here, he's meant to be Mashpia, even posthumously, on the world, to follow in his footsteps, Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. And why during the month of Av? Because the sin of the month of Av, as we saw in the Gemara in Yuma, regarding the destruction of the second Mikdash, is the sin of Sinas Chinam. And if that sin is so abominable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tolerate it, and he brings about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, then we desperately need a tikkun in that terrible Avera Chamura, that serious and heavy violation of Sinas Chinam. And the tikkun is going to come when we learn from Aaron and we try to imitate Aaron's mid of Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. So we're going to take a 2-minute break now and read the text of the Sfas Emes, the words of the Sfas Emes. V'hine, he says, Moshe v'Aaron, Shebachar ba'em HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'irim li'olam l'bnei Yisrael b'chol adoros. The light or the influence of Aaron and Moshe is felt in all generations. Why? Because gedolim tzaddikim b'misosam yoser mi'b'chayehem. They bequeath a legacy that is eternal, and we constantly, continuously learn from their legacy. And ubimisas Aaron, in the death of Aaron, k'siv bator v'yal b'rosh chodesh av, when did Aaron go up to the mountain and pass on? That was on the first of Av. K'deish eschuso yamod lanu bazeh hazman ha'shofel. Then on this very low date in the calendar, the Hebrew calendar of Av, he, Aaron, will still remain as chus for us on this low date, on this very despairing period of time that begins with Rosh Chodesh Av, right? Mishenichnas Av Mamatim B'Simcha. And he mentions, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu in his chus would protect us from the kategor of Beis Pa'or. And therefore, Huchan Aaron Lohagin Bazeh Chodesh. It was part of the divine plan that Aaron, with his death and with the legacy that he left and the impact on generations, he would be connected to the month of Av, because on this month of Av we desperately need divine protection. We need some sort of schus, and that schus is going to bring about the termination of the exile, the building of the Bayis Shlishi. And he says, because Beis Hamikdash Hasheni Nechrav Al Yidei Sinas Chinam, Aaron Ahepech Legamre. And that's the Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom of Aaron, the exact antithesis the opposite of sinas chinam, and this is the yesod on which the Beis HaMikdash, the third Mikdash, will be rebuilt, based on the influence of Aaron after his death. And obviously, if there's going to be that tikkun of avas chinam instead of and replacing sinas chinam, it's going to have to be somehow connected to the month of Av, because the month of Av really represents the month of sinas chinam, the month of Churban Habayis. So in this month, Aaron is implanted, and he is going to have this tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael of Oev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, to counter and negate the terrible corrosive and destructive influence of the month of Av, the month of Churban, the month of Sinas Chinam. And we can now appreciate why the Torah emphasizes not only the date of Moshe's Ptira as the first of the fifth month, which means Rosh Chodesh Av, but moreover the Torah wants to emphasize the influence and the impact of Aaron HaKohen after his death. Did I by mistake say Moshe? I'm sorry, I meant to say Aaron. So Rashi says that after Aaron dies, Kol Beis Yisrael Hanoshim V'Hanoshim, everyone mourns over the loss of Aaron on Rosh Chodesh Av, because of the tremendous impact of Aaron as the Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. So basically, the original Rosh Chodesh Av for Bechia, for crying, right, when we say that the Avelus begins on Rosh Chodesh Av, the original Rosh Chodesh Av predates the Churban Habayis. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his divine Hashkach, he already planted in the month of Av a death that would have an impact on Klal Yisrael in this area of Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, so that later on in history, when Av would become the month of Sinas Chinam, we already have implanted, inherent in the seeds of Chodesh Av, the personality and the impact of Aaron HaKohen, the Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, so that for all Doros, for all generations on Rosh Chodesh Av, we can cry together with Klal Yisrael, as our forefathers did on that Rosh Chodesh Av, because of the death of Aaron on that day. And we're really mourning not just Aaron as a human being and his death, but we're mourning over the Midah of Aaron that was buried with Aaron, that was lost with Aaron. And that's why, Rabosa, you know, sometimes people will ask you, as somebody asked me this question yesterday, I just lost a relative, and I'm on the other side of the world, I'm not going to be there for the Kvura, for the Shiva. What can I do in order to immortalize the deceased? In this case, it was his grandmother who died. And what I told him was that Avelus has another dimension to it. So it's not just sadness and mourning and crying over the loss, but it is a question of what can we learn from the deceased? What legacy did they live? What midos were they outstanding on? And if we can then imitate them, if we can learn from their legacy, that itself is the greatest kiyum of Avelus, which is Kvodo Shalmes. Where we're keeping the dead alive. You know, somebody once asked, are the dead alive? Well, it all depends. If you're talking about physically, the dead are dead. But if you're talking about spiritually, and in terms of their legacy, if we can imitate their legacy, if we can imitate their midos tovos, then they're really alive. And that means that the entire process of Avelus, of tshuva and tikkun, means that in the case of Aaron, Klal Yisrael were in love with Aaron because of his great midah of Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. What would happen is, after Aaron dies, the people of Israel would try to learn from Aaron, imitate him, and reach up to the level of Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. If that's going to be connected with the month of Av, because that's the month in which the neshama of Aaron was taken from us, then at that time when we desperately need a tikkun for the chet of sinas chinam, we have something embedded or inherent in the month of Av through the death of Aaron, which is called Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, because the death of Aaron is going to kick off an avelus, and the kiyum of that avelus on the highest level is to imitate the minos of the person who was taken away from us. In this case, in the case of Aaron, the istalkus of the mida of Oiv Shalom V'Rodim Shalom, we now have to take upon ourselves to be absolutely meticulous about Oiv Shalom V'Rodim Shalom, to be dedicated to Avas HaShalom. And in that way, we're doing a tikkun, we're uprooting the sinas chinam that unfortunately is inherent in the month of Av. And basically, we want to use the month of Av, specifically the death of Aaron, to be ma'orer us, to waken us up to tshuva. And that tshuva has a specific content to it. In substance, it means to follow in the footsteps and imitate Aaron, are going to be an Oiv Shalom V'Rodim Shalom. That's the impact of the month of Av. And if we can live up to that impact, then we're rebuilding the destroyed Beis HaMikdash. Because the Mikdash was destroyed because of what? Sinas Chinam, and now we're going to go with Ava, and as a result of that Ava, we'll be zochet to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll tell you, Rabbi Osai, this is really brilliant, because it sheds a whole new light, not only on the parasha, but also on what the month of Av is all about, and what should be our emphasis and our responsibility in the month of Av. So if I would have gotten up and told you, like a drasha here before Musaf, that the month of Av is dedicated to Avas Yisrael, so you would have said, it sounds good, and it fits in with the Gemara and Yuma, but now we have a whole different perspective. We see that in terms of our Gedolim, our ancestors, who personified the Midah of this Avas Yisrael, it was Aaron HaKohen. When did he die? Rosh Chodesh Av. What could be our Avelus on the highest level, in which we try to duplicate and imitate his Midah, the Midah of Aaron HaKohen, and that's the Midah of Oiv Shalom V'Rodim Shalom, that's going to be the Avelus of the month of Av. What we mourn over the month of Av is the loss of Aaron, of Odev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. We're going to mourn over the month of Av, over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, because we were sonei, we're guilty of sinas chinam. And in the context of our mourning, of our grief and our avelus in the month of Av, we're going to try to learn how to imitate and emulate Aaron HaKohen. And to that we ourselves should be mini Aaron HaKohen. We should personify the midos of Oiv Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. And that itself was going to bring about the Bayis Shlishi. Why? Because the Bayis Sheni was destroyed as a result of what? Sinas Chinam. Now we're going to dedicate ourselves to take that midah of Aaron and exemplify that through Avas Yisrael, Avas Chinam, and Memela. That's going to be the tikkun that brings about the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. All this is connected to Aaron HaKohen. So Aaron has a relationship to Av, but we have to appreciate that that relationship to Av is not just because of it, of an intensification of Avelus. Meaning we have Avelus in Av because of the destruction of the two Bati Mikdashes. Now we have another reason to be Miss Avel in the month of Av, and that is the death of Aaron. You know that some of the calendars that they publish, the Hebrew calendars, will tell you a long list of Gedol Yisrael that died on that day. I don't know if you've ever seen it. So you know, and yeah, it's a yard site. So you look up Rosh Chodesh Av and you'll see Aaron HaKohen, right? But what you don't see is this is not just Avelus. This is not just because on this day we want to be more, you know, more grief. We have a greater intensified grief because it's the day of Aaron's Ptir. No. On the contrary, herein lies the hope and the optimism to convert, to transform the month of Av into a month of Simcha V'Sasa. And how do we do that? If we walk in the footsteps of Aaron, if we try to imitate him and learn from the legacy that he left behind, on Rosh Chodesh Av, the yard site of Aaron, what we're saying to ourselves is that we will take Aaron's Midah and we will emulate it. That's what Avelus is all about. And if we do that in the month of Av, then what we're doing is we're really doing a tikkun for the Avera, that terrible sin, that Shkula Keneged Gimel Averus Chamuros, and that is the Avera of Sinas Chinam, which if we do a tikkun on, that's going to reverse the situation of Churban HaBayis, because the Churban HaBayis was a result of Sinas Chinam, and we'll have instead a reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his compassion allowing us to live through and build the third Beis HaMikdash.
Rabbi, I just want to just
please
be clear that the fact that the date is stated in the Torah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu was like intending that Aaron should die on that date,
exactly,
because he knew that in the future,
exactly,
there would be
it was part of Makdim Refuah Makah. Kodesh Baruch Hu was already laying, you know, planting the seeds for the refuah, for the tikkun,
yeah,
of the future machlos, you know, the physical, but I mean the spiritual decay of Klal Yisrael through sin.
Is this the only one of the, not the Avos, the Sheva Ro'im, that's the date of his Patiris,
as far as
the
Torah, right?
He's the only one.
So
it's pretty important.
There'll be Torah Shmal Peh, and we'll figure out exactly when the other. But here it's Torah Shmichzah. The Torah says be Echad L'Chodesh HaChamishi. The Torah is actually spelling out, which it never does. There must be a reason for that.
The question is, which kind of food is the chicken or the egg? Was Aaron's death first, and then Hakadosh Baruch Hu engineered it to buy some bita should be in that time?
I don't know. There is logic to what you say, because there's one day in Chazal that claims that certain sins of Klal Yisrael were, you cannot justify them simply by the basis of the intensity or the power of the Yetzer Hara.
It wasn't,
but rather it was part of a divine plan to bring about tshuva. Are you familiar with this? I mentioned this a few times in my drasha before Mincha in the afternoon on Shabbos. Is a concept called of Ila Nora, that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu organizes it that the challenge is so great that we'll sin in order to teach us Darche Lahoros Lon and Darche Tshuva. So there may be something to what you say, but I think without getting into that, just the you know, I think the simple way of understanding it is that meant that you were saying this, that God already anticipated the Sinas Chinam that's going to bring about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he planted Aaron HaKohen, who is the ultimate paradigm of the Tikkun, that he should die in the month of Av. So in this month of Av, in the context of our Avelus, and certainly the Avelus of our forefathers when Aaron actually died in Av, we are going to dedicate ourselves to that need of Aaron. We are going to imitate Aaron, and that's going to bring about the Tikkun, so that Av will be converted from a month of Avelus to a month of Simcha. The greatest Simcha will be on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yantif. In fact, there are halachic elements in Tisha B'Av that already give Tisha B'Av the status of a Yantif. And we used to go up to Boston to hear Rav Soloveitchik on Tisha B'Av, because he would read Kiddush with us from 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. Wow. And interpret. And we would wish each other a good Yantif on Tisha B'Av. It was like one of the most amazing days, if not the greatest day of the whole year for us. Because the insights that he had into Kiddush, yeah. Somebody now published a book based on some recordings that he had from those Kiddush meetings. But inherent in the day of Tisha B'Av is already a Simcha. Inherent in the month of Av as a month of Sinas Chinam is Avas Chinam. What's inherent in the month of Av? The Avelus that we have for Aaron HaKohen. But again, it's a new definition of Avelus. It's a definition of Avelus which brings Avelus to the level of Tshuva. And what we're doing is by imitating that great leader who died on that day, what we're doing is we're really fulfilling Avelus on the highest level. So Shiva is very nice and it's great and we get very sad and depressed about the loss, but that's not the ultimate. The ultimate of Avelus, and that's what we're seeing here by Aaron, is if we can imitate that great Mida which was personified by that person. That's really what Avelus is all about. And that is already planted in the month of Av. And if I could just add one little paragraph here before we, because this I think is kind of like the clincher. Do you have a paragraph that starts Nimtza? You're on page 2,
yeah.
On the right column, you'll see about the fourth paragraph. Well, this Nimtza actually is on the top, but I mean the lower Nimtza.
Yeah.
He says, why is it that every year, Parshas Masai is going to be read either on Rosh Chodesh Av or immediately after Rosh Chodesh Av. And it's very interesting that Ezra HaSofer organized it, as the Gemara points it out at the end of Megillah, that this parasha of Maasai should always coincide with the what we call the dry vachim, and usually it coincides either with Rosh Chodesh Av or immediately following Rosh Chodesh Av. And the reason is because what are we going to read in Maasai?
About the death of Aaron.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. Now again, here you can again ask Doc exactly which came first, the chicken or the egg. But let's mention it this way: that Hashem had a plan in which it was important that Aaron's Ptira should coincide with Rosh Chodesh Av. Hashem had a plan that the parasha of Maasai should coincide with either Rosh Chodesh Av or very shortly afterwards. Like for example, I think this year we're going to read Maasai on the second day of Av. And all this is so that we should understand and appreciate Naskil v'Novin Loleches v'Darchik Beis Yisrael Shebachu B'Yom Zeh. We should follow in the footsteps of our ancestors who cried on this day of Rosh Chodesh Av. And why? Because of the loss of Aaron. But not only because of the loss of Aaron as a physical person, but the loss of Aaron's great midah of Oev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom. And if we really have true, genuine Avelus, because of the loss of Aaron's Oev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, then if you flip it around, that genuine Avelus and Bechia is in a sense a deep and profound commitment to that midah of Aaron. That's what we're crying about. We're crying about because of the loss of that midah, and we're missing it so badly that we should arouse within us a feeling, a hisorus, to continue Aaron's ways, and our behavior should reflect Avas Chidum, and in such a way, this month of Av, which is Pogum, in a certain sense, it's a low kind of month, it's a despairing kind of month, because of the Sinas Chinam of this month that brought about the Churba. We now are going to convert that month into a month of Avas Chinam. We're going to cry and mourn over the loss of Aaron, and more specifically over the loss of his Midah of Avas Shalom, so that we rededicate ourselves to Avas Shalom. And in doing so, we are being metakin the Pagam of this month of Av, the Sinas Chinam that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the month of Av. And we begin to understand that from Aaron we're going to derive Tchiyas HaMeisim. You know, many sources in Chazal ask the question, where is Tchiyas HaMeisim? And we don't see it. The Torah never explicitly addresses Tchiyas HaMeisim. But there are a number of Ramazim, of different parashios in the Torah and Psukim, that hint at the Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Gemara says in the last parak of Sanhedrin, Minayin l'Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah, Shenemar v'nasatem mimenu es trumas Hashem li Aaron HaKohen. What does that mean? That the Torah says we should give our truma to Aaron HaKohen. Then that's a mitzvah l'dorei doros. And you're telling me we should bring... Well, what is the Torah telling me? That, oh, Aaron, here's my truma. That doesn't make any sense. If the Torah is giving us a mitzvah, it has to go beyond the life of Aaron. V'chi Aaron li'olam kayim, the Gemara answers. Aaron doesn't even enter into Eretz Yisrael, and we're giving him truma? Where do we have to bring truma? Where do we have to be mafish truma? In the wilderness of Sinai? Oh no. True is only in Eretz Yisrael. So how are we going to fulfill this mitzvah of giving truma to Aaron HaKohen when truma depends upon the growth of the land, the produce of the land, and Aaron's not even going to enter into the land? It says the Gemara, Malamit she'asid lichyos, that Aaron will be resurrected. And at that point, after the resurrection, after the Tchiyah, then Yisrael will give him the Truma. Mikan l'Tchiyah sameis min Truma. Now, we have a klal that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to bring a remez for X, whatever that X is, in a certain context, there must be a logical reason or an explanation why. So why is the remez for tchias ha-mesim given in the Torah or hidden in the Torah in the parasha of Mises Aaron? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a remez that if we want to bring the geula, right, as we sing, we want Mashiach now, right? So the best way of doing this and being zochet to tchias ha-mesim is to bring a truma. And what is the truma that we're going to bring, that we're going to offer? Is it the physical truma? Well, maybe. But on a spiritual or conceptual level, it's a different kind of truma. It's the truma of Aaron. We're going to bring the truma of Aaron. Aaron had a truma, and we're going to bring his truma. And on a metaphysical level, what is the truma of Aaron? It's Oev Shalom Barod Shalom. That's Aaron's contribution. Here, Aaron was the trailblazer. And we are going to give that same truma of Oev Shalom Barod Shalom. And that's the mitzvah that we're going to fulfill, and that mitzvah is going to bring about Mashiach. So Rav Moshe said, if we want to bring the Mashiach, we need to learn from Aaron. Somebody should write a book titled Aaron's Methodology in Avas Yisrael. You know, and if we can read that book and imitate that, we're going to bring about Mashiach. Why? Because the ikuv that's delaying Mashiach is the fact that we are still guilty of that same unfortunate crime that brought about the Churban HaBayis, and that is Sinas Chinam. So if we can work on Sinas Chinam, we can certainly bring about Mashiach. Which one of those famous Jewish singers has the song called the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha? It's excellent, I love it. I can't remember his name.
Aaron Fried?
No, it's not Aaron Fried. It's a singer that he's very Hasidish. He made it because of this one song. I mean, he has many other songs.
Lipa?
I don't think it's Schmelzer. It's you're very hot. I mean, it's very similar. I'll try to remember his name a little bit later on. Maybe Mendel on Shabbos lunch. You remind me to ask my wife this question, if you happen to remember. And he has this video where he's got all his disciples there. They're going on a bus and they're running and they're loving and they, you know, it's
no, it is Lipa. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that is
Lipa. Could be. I can look
not sure. Yeah, you can Google it. Yeah, the Ahavta L'Recha. I don't think it's Lipa, though. No. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's very, very close to Lipa, but very similar to Lipa.
So would you say that you said emulating Aaron Cohen,
right?
But I know there's a thing, especially in Hasidic circles, that on the yard site there's like a spiritual force from the neshama. It right. comes into the world in a stronger way than the rest of the year. You know. That person.
And that's what I think is happening in the case of Aaron. You know, Aaron's influence is still powerful, even after his death, and especially on his yard site. So we're entering into the month of Av, which we'll do Birkas Hashem tomorrow, with the influence and the impact of Aaron's Oev Shalom, and that's going to take us through this month as a month of Tikkun.
Melech, his name is Melech.
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 Yeah. If they show you, they show you the video.
Yeah.
The video is excellent. I love that video. Maybe. It starts with an interview. They ask him, what, you know, and then he starts via Havta. He belongs to that group like Lipa.
Yeah.
He's,
do you
have the video?
He looks like a Breslover.
Yeah, maybe he's a Breslover. I'm not sure. He speaks English. He's American.
Oh yeah.
Do you have the what's it called, the YouTube there?
Yeah.
they interview him. When did it all start? And then he says, forget it, it's not important. And then he goes into the Ahavta. And he speaks in Yiddish. If we want to bring the Mashiach, we have to fulfill the Ahavta.
Okay, let's go back to the share.
Right.
You'll listen to it after.
Yeah, you gotta listen to it.
No, okay.
You've never heard it? It's a
nah.
you know, there's a whole shaila about listening to music during the 3 weeks, but you have my head there if you want to allow me to listen to this, because this one is really the message of the 3 weeks, you know, so we have to listen to this song. I'm not sure if you have to see the whole video. You know, he does fast motion and slow motion, and they move a bus. I mean, you know, all the dancing and the excitement of Yahavtel Re'echa. But you know, in my experience, I don't think there's a wedding that I went to that they didn't play this song. It became so popular, and this is years and years. This is not from yesterday, but it's a great song. Now the Sfas Emes still leaves us hanging, so to speak, on one question. And that is, what's the difference between Rosh Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av? You know, you might have thought that if Aaron's legacy is Avos Yisrael as a tikkun, then shouldn't it coincide with the day in which the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed? But the answer might be that when we get into the month of Av, this is already the influence of Tisha B'Av. Now, Tisha B'Av sort of spills over the entire month, and already 9 days before Tisha B'Av, we have to begin our Avelus, and that's the Gemara at the end of Tainus, Mishenichnas Av Mati B'Simcha. But perhaps we can give even a more profound spin on this. And he says the following, Yeshlomer Bazeh Parpas Noah, based on the Gemara at the end in Yuma, Daf Chav Gimel, called Ne'alovin. Ne'alovin means those who are insulted, and instead of lashing back, they accept the Ne'alovin, and they become Ma'alivim, Shomim Cherpasim V'Einim Meshivim. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the Sfarim say that a person who is in that Madrega has a great ability to give you a bracha. Have you ever heard that? If you've been ever chas v'shalom,
you've been insulted and you don't answer back.
Right. Then at that moment in time, if you give a bracha, if you get a bracha from somebody, there's a famous story about Reb Chaim Kanevsky that somebody was childless for so many years and he kept coming to Reb Chaim and pushing Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, please. And Reb Chaim says, I can't do it for you. You just, it's not in the stars. But the only thing that I think could possibly break your mazel is if you find someone who's insulted and ask him for a bracha at that moment.
And he doesn't hear. And he doesn't.
And he doesn't respond. And it was a wedding, and there was this guy who came into the wedding, and in the middle of the wedding, and everybody was there publicly, he starts berating someone and what you did, and they try to calm him down, and he refuses. And it's getting really intense, and in the middle of this whole story, this fellow who's childless runs over to this person. He says, "Please, I beg you to give me a bracha. I'll explain later. Give me a bracha. Don't respond and give me a bracha. Don't respond to this guy who's insulting you publicly. Give me a bracha.
Yeah.
I'll give you anything in the world." And supposedly gave him a bracha. And 9 months later, he swear I had a child.
Wow!
It's an unbelievable story, and it's like one of these, like, you know, popular stories that's documented. You know, people know all the details. They know the name of the fellow and they know the dates and the wedding, and it's pretty stark. So that's the Gemara in Masechta Yoma, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shoftim, meaning in Chumash. It says, "The Ov of Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvurasa." So the Balei HaTosfos in that Gemara quote the story of creation, and it says that God that God created two ma'oros. Now what happened was that initially the two luminaries were exactly the same size, but the Levana came in front of the Ribbono Shel and said, you know, why do you need two of us? You know, why can't I be the big boss? And as a result, the Shemesh remained as great as it was, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mocked in the Levana. He made it even smaller. Because the Shemesh deserves Sheshamach Herpasim Eloheshiv. You know, the Levana was saying, you know, why do you give such covet to the Shemesh? And that's called Hanelovim V'Einam Olvim, that they don't respond. They accept that insult. And therefore the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes is the Ov of Kitzeis HaShemesh B'Gvurasa, that the Shemesh itself, so to speak, goes out in its Gvura as the most powerful luminary because of the Shemesh did not respond to this, so to speak, insult that the Levana heaped upon it. So the Av of Kitzes HaShemesh B'Gvurasa. Now in Galicia, there was one shining light. I mean, there were many shining, but the shining light in Galicia was the Bnei Yisachar, and he had a tremendous almost like a direct transmission of the Arizal's Torah. So the Bnei Yisachar is very famous, amongst other things, for quoting the Arizal. You know, if you really want to know what the Arizal said, you either go to Rav Chaim Vital or you go to the Bnei Yisachar. And according to his claim, what the Arizal said is that when we go out to be Mekadesh Levana, after, you know, the first Levana of the after Rosh Chodesh, then we say to each other, Shalom Aleichem. Why Vosep is Shalom Aleichem? Did you ever think about that minhag? We turn to three people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very beautiful minhag, but what's its basis? So the Arizal's quote here is saying that the Levana there's a kitru, you know, the very existence revelation of the Levana on each month is really a kitru, because when we think about the Levana is small, right? It waxes and it wanes, and all because of the fact that it insulted the Shemesh in saying that why should we both be great luminaries? Shnei Maoros Rikir Shemaim, I'm enough. What do you need this guy for, right? So we need a tikkun for the Levana, and especially Klal Yisrael, who represents the Levana. We have a lunar calendar. So how do we accomplish this tikkun? By saying Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem means that we don't want to insult anybody. You know, we appreciate the greatness of every human being. And that's what we recognize him by saying Shalom Aleichem. Now in the next paragraph, he presents a beautiful thesis of the Chasam Sofer, which is also based on the same idea, and it really connects to the month of Av. And already on Rosh Chodesh Av, we're already saying Shalom Aleichem, so to speak. We're already taking the legacy of Aaron HaKohen of Oev Shalom Barodev Shalom, and we're beginning to counter against the Kitrug of the Levana. You know, it's the Kitrug of the Levana that caused it to lose its light, and, you know, it became very small. It's hard. It's very hard to read to the light of the moon. You know, you could, but it's all because of the fact that the Levana, in its diminished form, represents the kitrug for the lack of ava, the lack of respect for another one. And Aaron HaKohen dies on Rosh Chodesh Av, because that is the day in which we will dedicate ourselves to Ava Shalom, and as a result of the new moon of Chodesh Av, we're going to say Shalom Aleichem. We're going to respect and love everyone, because the kitrug that caused the miyud halavana was because of the lack of love, and now we're going to be metaking that kitrug by dedicating ourselves to the legacy of Aaron, which is Oev Shalom Barodev Shalom. And all this is a tikkun of that very pagam that brought about the churban of the bias. So we have a whole structure over here. We have the churban of the bias, which is brought about by Sinas Chinam. We have now the pagam of the Levana, the miyud halavana, because of its lack of ava. And now on the other side, we're going to have Rosh Chodesh, we're going to enter into the month of Av, we're going to dedicate ourselves to the Avas Yisrael, and to the legacy of Aaron, and as you said before, the influence of Aaron on this month, and that Ashroya is going to give us the ability during this month to intensify and upgrade our Avas Shalom, our Avas Yisrael, and then in Mirz Hashem we'll achieve the Tikkun and bring about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the Geula Shlema B'mheira V'yameinu Amen. So we'll stop here.
Thank you.